Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our relationship with God is one of faith. God speaks, faith receives. God washes, faith receives. God feeds, faith receives. Without faith, we have nothing. With faith, we have all things. Scripture praises faith, not because of faith itself, but because of the object of faith, namely Jesus. This is why faith alone saves, because faith receives Christ and all the blessings that come with it, and Christ alone can save. But faith is never quite alone. Faith alone saves and justifies, but faith is always producing fruits of repentance, good works. One of those fruits Jesus highlights today. See how beautifully he describes prayer and how strenuously he urges you to pray to the Father when he says, "Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." These three words, "in my name," highlight faith. To pray in Jesus' name is not simply to tack that phrase onto the end of our prayer. But to pray in Jesus' name is to believe that God will hear us because of what Jesus accomplished for us. There's a reason why we are meditating on prayer in the midst of the Easter season. Prayer and Easter are connected, inseparably connected. Jesus victoriously rose from the dead so that you might pray. Every time you fold your hands and bow your head, every time you pray, you are confessing Easter. Because if Christ is still dead, then you're talking only to a wall. But if Christ lives, if Christ has risen, then he does hear. And he does carry your prayers, that sweet-smelling incense. Even as he was wrapped in 75 pounds of incense, he carries those prayers to the Father as a beautiful fragrance. God will hear and will answer because of what Christ has done. Not because you have a need, not because your heart was in the right place, not because you want something. God hears and answers because Jesus died, Jesus rose, and faith clings to that. So God loves you because you love Jesus. That is, you love him because you believe that he is sent from the Father. We love because he first loved us. So it is Jesus' love that creates our love for God. It is his word that creates our faith. It is his word that puts words and prayers onto our lips. He gave us faith, and we cannot help but to speak back to God the words and promises he has given to us. Prayer is not built upon a creator-creature relationship. God is not simply fulfilling his duty as creator when he hears prayer. Prayer is built on a father-child relationship. So God does not simply hear prayer. He hears the prayers of his children. Others may suffer tragically and terrible things. Others may have far greater needs than what you have. But if they do not have faith, God does not hear their prayer. He hears the prayers of those who have saving faith in Christ. Faith makes prayer acceptable to God, not because of faith itself, but because of the object of faith, namely Christ. God hears every syllable because of Christ. And God loves you because of Christ. So do not pray because you need something. Pray because of Easter. Do not pray because you want something. Pray because Jesus lives. Do not pray because you feel like you should. Pray because you have a dear Father in heaven and you are his dear child. Do not look at yourself and direct your gaze inward about how you think or how you feel. For if you only pray when you feel something, then you will pray infrequently. You pray because God has given you a promise. Prayer begins in the Word of God. Prayer begins in Christ and what he has done for you. So do not look at yourself. Fix your gaze outward at Christ. Remember that great promise he just gave you. Whatever you ask my Father in my name, he will give it to you. Your Father loves to hear you speak. So don't wait until something big and tragic happens in life. Pray right now. Don't wait until the end of the day. Pray right then and there. Talk to your Father. And do not feel guilty that you prayed for something so small and insignificant while the whole world is on fire, because I think God can handle it all at once and can help all as he sees fit. So pray for great things and pray for little things. Pray for important things and pray for unimportant things. Pray for spiritual, eternal things and also for earthly things. And trust that God has heard your prayer, because Jesus lives. You're not telling God anything he doesn't already know. But at the same time, he urges you to pray and says that he takes into account your prayers. Think of Abraham at Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, what if there are 50 righteous men? 40, 30, 20, 10. Again and again and again, Abraham prayed. And in his prayer, he is sharing in the work of Christ. That is, he is reigning with Christ as God heard his prayer and answered it accordingly. By prayer, we also participate in the reign of Christ. By prayer, we exercise our rule over all creation. No posturing. Yes, I'll pray for you. But actually going in, shutting the door, folding our hands, and praying. No thoughts and prayers, but actually doing what we said we would. And the more we see the news, the more we should not complain about our leaders, but the more we should pray for them. And the more we live this life, the more we should pray. Because life is hard, and our only recourse is prayer. Scripture says this: you do not have because you do not ask. We're silent because we often think that life will just be what it is and we can't do anything about it. Maybe we can't, but we put that on God as well. Scripture continues, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. How infantile our prayers often are. We want things that will only make our life easier or make our life better. We must press on to maturity and recognize that while God will give us our daily bread, he also has far greater blessings that he wants to bestow on us. So ask for all those things and recognize the order of importance in those things. Prayer begins to train us to see the world as God himself sees the world. So now as we watch the evening news, our minds are thrust back into the Word of God, not only because there is great tragedy, and we pray for them confident God will help them according to his will, but also because that tragedy usually comes because of sin and unbelief. So we pray for eternal things, that God's kingdom may be extended over all the earth and all be brought into it through faith. Prayer trains us to love what God loves, to rejoice when God rejoices, to abhor what God abhors, and to do what God commands. God has revealed all of this in his word. Prayer does not begin, therefore, in our hearts with a feeling or a need. Prayer begins in the word of God with a risen Savior and flows to our lips. And the more that we hear that word of God, the more our prayers will mimic the word of God. Children are sponges, they say. So are Christians. Soaking up that promise of God and uttering it back to him. We say what he says. We feel what he feels. We love what he loves. We weep when he weeps. We groan when he groans. We rejoice when he rejoices. We are, after all, his children, conformed to him. So let us grow in our knowledge and understanding of the word of God, so that we may not be infantile in our prayers, but may press on to maturity. Then, as we see the evening news, we understand it rightly as law and gospel, faith and unbelief, not according to economics or money. Then, as we live a day or a year, we understand it rightly as faith, not anything else. And perhaps this, that as we hear that ambulance go by, we pause and bow our head and say, Lord, have mercy, instead of simply ignoring it. But I fear the reason that we do not do such things is because we do not think it matters, or maybe even worse, we don't think it will help us at all. Let us believe the promises of God. Let us exercise prayer, not only for our sake, but for the sake of the world. For God spares this world because of the prayers of his people. Thy kingdom come. May more be brought to faith. As we press on to maturity, we will still pray for stability and health and peace and laughter and joy, good government, and many earthly things. But those no longer become our primary focus. We know that what his cross has won for us are eternal gifts, eternal blessings. So we pray for great things, such as the resurrection of all the dead and the life of the world to come, even as we pray for those small things. We know that his cross has conquered sin, death, and hell, that our place in heaven is secure and not one devil can rob us of it. And so we pray for those things right now. We pray for the blessings that his cross has won for us, peace, joy, happiness, confident that he desires to give them to us. We know that all of this is ours in heaven, but we do not know when or how it will come to us, or even if it will all come to us right now on earth. So on the one hand, we do not settle for anything less than what his cross has won. While on the other hand, we never complain with what our Lord has given. And that tension is exercised in prayer. We desire the fullness of Easter. At the same time, we give thanks to our Lord for what he has given each day, whether good or bad. And in the middle of every prayer stands a risen and living Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.